Ladies and gentlemen, as we begin our program, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you the Commandant of the United States Coast Guard, Admiral Allen.
Thank you all for coming. It's great to be here. Cutters, another great job. Barbara, thank you as always. Well, given the weather, I'm not sure who made it or not, but I may pass a few names. They may not be here, but we'll go ahead and recognize them anyway. I think Chairman Cummings has got a vote on the Hill, and he's going to try and get here, and we'll see if we can say hello to him when he comes in. I know Chief Paulison's in the room from FEMA, Assistant Secretaries from Homeland Security, and a lot of our partners from DOD, DOJ, FBI, thank you for being with us today. A special thanks to Jim Gracie and Jim Loy for being here. We appreciate your support as always. Jim Link from the Coast Guard Foundation, thank you so much for what you do for us. And we are really saddened at the loss of Peter Finnerty. It's a great loss for the Coast Guard, I know, to the foundation, but we are keeping his family in our thoughts. Thanks to the Coast Guard, Washington Area Coast Guard Association. You all do a great job, Brian. Thank you, as always. Some other folks that are in the room. My family is with me here today. My wife, Pam, my sister, Wanda, and my dad, Bill, and my mom, Wilma. They just celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. Again, thank you all for coming today, and a special welcome to our shipmates. Those of you who are representing the active duty, the reserve, the auxiliary, the civilian, and our retired communities. Really a nice showing of our retired folks here today, and we really appreciate it. And the congressional staff, thank you. Well, folks, I can report to you today that the state of the Coast Guard is strong, and will continue to be strong. But we have significant challenges ahead of us. We have never been more relevant, and we've never been more visible to the nation we serve. Our challenge is to position the service for the future, and that's the challenge I want to address with you today. I can also report to you we continue to be inspired by the operational excellence demonstrated by the people of our service. That excellence is the collective effort of extraordinary men and women who live the core values of honor, respect, and devotion to duty every day in every corners of the earth. As we meet here today, Coast Guard Cutter Midget is crossing the Atlantic. After departing Seattle last fall, I was able to have lunch with the crew before she departed. She will complete an around-the-world cruise, including service in the Persian Gulf, and return to Seattle in the middle of March. You may have seen a picture in the lobby, and there's one right over here by the H-65 helicopter. It looks like a blur of blue and white. What you're actually looking at is about a 15 or 20 foot wave breaking over the stern of the Coast Guard cutter Campbell as a crew tried to deal with a tow line and passed it to a vessel taking on water off New England last week. Our crews face difficult challenges every day, manage risk, and serve the country with distinction. Next to that picture, you have a model of our H-65 Charlie helicopters. There was a video out in the lobby, I hope some of you were able to see it, depicting a Port Angeles, Washington, H-65 Charlie, re-engined through the deep water program. It was conducting a dangerous high altitude hoist of an injured climber in the Olympic range, something that would have not have been possible before those aircraft were re-engined. So as you can see, America's Coast Guard is on watch. But despite tremendous work of all of our Coast Guard units all across the globe, much remains before us. And as we move forward, we will remember with great sadness the loss of our shipmates on Healy last summer and the need to always focus on readiness to be able to execute our missions. We also continue to think of our personnel assigned to the Florida and Gulf Coasts as they rebuild their lives as they are literally rebuilding Coast Guard stations. Today, I'll outline how the Coast Guard is evolving to confront the challenges we face in the 21st century. The world is changing, and America's Coast Guard is changing. Looking to the future, there are three things the Coast Guard needs to do. We need to understand the dramatically changed operating environment we work in each day now, and how that will change in the future. We must change to sustain and improve mission execution. And we must be more responsive to the needs of the nation. Before I discuss these changes, let me take a minute to recognize some of the great work our Coast Guard does, and we have heroes here today to demonstrate that. In 2006, we helped close to 45,000 people in distress, and we saved more than 5,000 lives. Joining us today are Petty Officer Christopher Grantham, a rescue swimmer from Air Station Miami, and Petty Officer Manny Gonzalez, a rescue boat coxswain from Station Key West. Together, they work with other Coast Guard units to save the lives of three fishermen aboard a boat sinking off the Florida Keys last month. Again, the H-65 Charlie helicopter flying on this case was one of the first in our fleet to get the new, more powerful engines through deep water. Shipmates, stand up so we can thank you. Last year, the Coast Guard stopped nearly 300,000 pounds of drugs from making their way onto our shores and into our communities. We interdicted nearly 8,000 illegal migrants at sea and boarded more than 6,000 fishing vessels. And 2 years ago, we set an annual record for cocaine seized, and we're on a pace to do that again this year. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about how we're going to improve our operational capabilities in the future. But before I do that, I want to highlight the incredible work of our men and women who are securing the ports throughout this country. We provide security for our military outloads in our ports, national special security events from coast to coast, and high-risk boardings around the world. We are called upon not only because of our authorities, expertise, and training, but because of our hard-earned reputation for getting the job done. Petty Officer Darcy Sugarbaker is here from Maritime Safety and Security Team 91101 in Seattle. She is a canine handler who responds with our multi-agency partners to threats against our ports and critical infrastructure. Last year, she supported local authorities in clearing a suspicious device at a community center in suburban Seattle. For her expertise and professionalism, she was a nominee and runner-up for the National Women in Federal Law Enforcement Award. Congratulations, Petty Officer Sugarbaker. Would you please stand? Not only are we working hard to keep America safe here at home, we have 6 patrol boats and more than 300 men and women deployed in support of Iraqi freedom. Chief Warrant Officer George Padusis just returned from the Green Zone, where he served as a special assistant to the Department of Homeland Security attaché and the country director for Iraq in Baghdad. There he was part of a team responsible for developing security plans for the Baghdad airport. He also worked with Iraqi forces to establish the Iraqi River Patrol on the Tigris River. As one of more than 8,000 Coast Guard reservists, he embodies the true spirit of our service. Our reserve forces have been a critical factor in our ability to sustain operations in the current threat environment. Please join me in thanking all of our reservists for their dedication to duty. George, please stand. Responsible stewardship of our oceans and waterways is a core Coast Guard mission. It is a mission Americans benefit from every day, often without realizing the work that it demands. This year, we inspected 97,000 aids to navigation. That's more than twice the number of people in the entire service. We also responded to nearly 4,500 reports of hazardous materials and oil discharges, keeping the oceans clean and safe as we protect our fragile ecosystems for the next generation. One particular case stands out this year. We recently concluded a multi-year, multi-agency investigation of illegal discharge of oil. Lieutenant Commander Bud Dar is here representing the team of Coast Guard men and women who, working with the Department of Justice and our federal agency partners, obtained the largest criminal settlement ever for deliberately polluting our waters, $37 million. Bud, stand up, please. We also have with us today Auxiliarist Bernie Tullington. Bernie has served this nation his entire life. He's a graduate of West Point, served two combat tours in Vietnam, and retired from the Army as a lieutenant colonel. But he wasn't set to retire. Today he stands watch in our National Response Center, which received reports of hazardous material and oil spills throughout the nation. Thank you for your service and to all of our volunteer auxiliarists for the hard work they do around the Coast Guard. Their compensation is nothing more than just the opportunity to serve. Thank you. Please stand up, Bernie. Coast Guard men and women don't stop serving their country when they step off the base to go on liberty. I'm proud to have Petty Officer Preston Lambert with us from New Orleans today. That's Air Station New Orleans. He was part of that team that led the incredible response in the first 48 hours after Katrina came ashore. But this morning, I had the pleasure of presenting him with the Silver Life-Saving Medal, one of the highest honors for courage demonstrated off-duty. While he was on leave with his new bride in Florida, he spotted a drowning man being pulled out to sea in a riptide. The man was not alone. His wife and a friend were out there too, and were quickly drifting apart. Without hesitation, Petty Officer Lambert dove into the water, putting their lives before his own to rescue all three people. Thank you, Petty Officer Lambert. Your actions remind us all of why we serve. Please stand up. Stacy Spadafora is a program analyst in our budget shop. She's a reaver for the Deepwater acquisition. No simple task. She's also a Sergeant First Class in the U.S. Army Reserve, a military intelligence specialist. She recently returned to us from a second deployment in Afghanistan as a senior human collector for the 341st Military Intelligence Battalion. And I thought testifying before Congress was rough. Stacy doesn't normally wear a uniform, but like our entire civilian workforce, her work is critical to the successful execution of all of our missions. Stacy, please stand so we can recognize you. Thanks to each of you for your service, sacrifice, and devotion to duty. As I said, and as you have proven by your performance, our Coast Guard is strong today. But as we honor these individuals, we also need to recognize that we face significant challenges that are going to require us to think and act differently. Threats and hazards evolve, and we must evolve with them. The world is changing, and America's Coast Guard is changing. Consider this. Since 9/11, we have deployed port security units to domestic ports in our own country. We have maintained continuous waterside security in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. We have sustained deployment of six patrol boats in the Persian Gulf and maintained stability in Haiti during the departure of President Aristide. We routinely conduct multi-agency operations with our Homeland Security partners. We have developed standard operating procedures to flow forces from U.S. Northern Command or receive supporting forces. Our coordination of responses to offshore threats through the Maritime Operational Threat Response Protocols, which I will talk about later, is the gold standard for interagency coordination and cooperation. Our response to Hurricane Katrina has taught us that we must also be capable of coordinated operations under the National Incident Management System with such diverse responders as FEMA Urban Search and Rescue Teams, the National Disaster Medical System, and non-governmental organizations. As we have moved into this new operating environment, we have continued to execute our traditional missions. We manage risk on a daily basis more so than at any time in the history of our service. Folks, this is a radically changed mission environment. This is not my father's Coast Guard, and my father is in the room. We haven't just expanded our mission since 9/11. The entire Coast Guard has grown. Since 9/11, we have added 4,000 people to the service, and our annual budget has nearly doubled to almost $8 billion. The Coast Guard needs to evolve to keep pace. Our challenge going forward is to adapt our forces, our command and control structure, and our mission support organization so that we are flexible, nimble, and capable of operating with multiple partners in response to specific incidents, surge operations, or increased threat levels while sustaining our performance in our traditional mission areas. We have a lot on our plate. This is our Coast Guard, the Coast Guard of the 21st century. Practices of the last century are not adequate for the time we live in now. Our command and control structures, our support systems, and our business practices have in some cases failed to keep pace with our growth and the expansion of our responsibilities. We can sustain our operations for a while like this, and we will always muster all hands for events like Katrina, but we cannot do it indefinitely. If you compare our business processes with those you encounter every day, searching for information on Google, shopping online, using an ATM, some just don't compete. I don't believe we can continue to operate this way, and my task today is to explain the way ahead, what we need to do to bring the Coast Guard into the 21st century. First, we need to understand how the world is changing. We are a nation with 95,000 miles of coastline. We depend upon our oceans for the safety and security of our population and the economy. Globalization has transformed maritime trade into the linchpin that connects a worldwide network of interdependent economies through the supply chain. Beyond our ports, advances in technology and changing environmental conditions continually revolutionize the world's use of and access to the outer continental shelf, the Arctic, and the high seas. We work in the last global commons. From the early days of the Revenue Marine to the protection of U.S. maritime interests following 9/11, we have continually confronted asymmetrical transnational threats. We protect the marine environment and guard its natural resources. We defend our nation at home and abroad, and we save those who cannot save themselves. The world is changing, and so is our Coast Guard. We need to become more agile, flexible, and responsive. Specifically, we need to do three things. We need to make our force structure more responsive to mission execution. We need to make our support systems more responsive to our operators. And we need to make the Coast Guard more responsive to the needs of the nation. What do I mean by making our force structure more responsive to mission execution? We need a clear, coherent way to employ our forces to create a layered defense for the nation. We need to consider our operational forces as a strategic trident. We have shore-based multi-mission forces assigned to sectors and districts. We have long-range maritime patrol and interdiction, deep water forces, and our polar icebreakers. And we have deployable specialized forces organized into a single unified operating structure, our new deployable operations group, the DOG. It is time to remove the distinction between our Atlantic and Pacific Coast Guards. Drug trafficking organizations and other transnational threats don't recognize our organizational boundaries. Our structure at times works against us in operations with joint interagency task forces and combatant commanders whose operating areas are not the same as our area boundaries. It is time we have one commander in the field responsible for mission execution, one single point of accountability completely focused on planning and executing operations. We will do this by combining our Atlantic and Pacific Area Command functions into a single Coast Guard Operations Command. This will improve global resource allocation, force generation, but most importantly will allow us to manage risk at a theater level, and that is now done largely in our ports in isolation. What do I mean by making support systems more responsive to the needs of our operators? Since becoming Commandant, I've had the opportunity to visit every Coast Guard district and talk with many of you personally. I have held all hands with nearly 10,000 Coast Guard personnel. You have told me you are concerned with the adequacy of our logistics, administrative, and financial systems. You have told me we have too many separate processes and data systems. You are frustrated by the lack of uniform systems and doctrine. We have conducted in-depth studies regarding maintenance, logistics, and financial systems, and those studies validate what you have told me. More importantly, many of these systems do not adequately support mission execution now, let alone our future challenges. We've been running some parts of the Coast Guard like a small business when we are a Fortune 500 company. It's time to just have one checkbook for the service and one single support organization for our air, surface, and C4ISR domains. It's time to have just one senior leader responsible for mission support, someone who can unify and standardize our maintenance, logistics, human resource, and other support systems across all units, across all missions. We will transition to a new mission support organization to establish a single point of accountability. This organization will combine the skills, resources, and talents currently residing within our Atlantic and Pacific Maintenance and Logistics Commands and our Centers of Excellence. It will also require us to retool our service delivery systems in the field. This mission support organization will support our transition to a unified logistics system based on a bi-level maintenance model consisting of depot and unit-level maintenance throughout our service. We will establish logistics centers similar to our aviation center in Elizabeth City for surface forces, C4ISR, and shore facilities. It is important to note that the mission support organization will also unify the Chief Acquisition Officer, Deepwater Program Executive Office, and the Services Technical Authority, our Chief Engineer, into a single organization focused on life cycle management of our cutters, aircraft, and sensors. As I have testified before Congress, as the Commandant, I am responsible for Deepwater, and we will get it right. Many of you are familiar with the Commandant's intent action orders I issued on assuming command last year. CIAOs, they call them CHOWs. Each CHOW focuses on one aspect of the transformation we need to make internally to better organize and align our support systems with our operations. For example, a single financial accounting system will help us manage scarce resources while increasing transparency to the public and being fiscally accountable. We need an integrated business system that aligns with DHS systems and programs, reduces the number of financial accounting systems in use, consolidates logistic tracking systems, and integrates human resource financial information with other financial data. Our new core accounting system will also simplify the way we buy, track, maintain, and dispose of our ships, aircraft, boats, and equipment over their entire lifespan. This transformation is already underway. I've just told you how we need to be more responsive to mission execution and more supportive of our operators. I want to focus now on making the Coast Guard more responsive to the needs of the nation. I'm talking about thinking, planning, and acting with strategic intent. I'm talking about setting priorities for the Coast Guard that address the emerging threats and hazards of an expanding global economy and changing world. As I share these priorities, you will notice a common theme. We are not going it alone. Our strategic priorities require unity of effort and partnerships at every level of government and with the private sector. The priorities I'm talking about are the backbone of the Coast Guard strategy for maritime safety, security, and stewardship. We just completed it. You'll be the first to receive copies. Don't forget to grab one on your way out. You have a summary in the flyer at your tables. For those who aren't with us, we will be posting a copy online. This strategy is not a one-year plan, nor is it a 20-year vision. The Coast Guard strategy will guide strategic change within our service through my tenure as Commandant. It is derived from the National Strategy for Maritime Security and other national plans, and supports the goals and priorities of the Department of Homeland Security. It describes changes in the maritime domain and charts our course to build new capabilities to prepare us for the future. The strategy is also an integral part of my ongoing efforts with Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Mike Mullen and Marine Corps Commandant General Jim Conway to integrate our services in a common global maritime strategic framework. Together, our efforts will provide a comprehensive framework for us to work together to meet U.S. national security requirements both at home and abroad. The new strategy has three primary goals: to strengthen maritime regimes, to increase maritime domain awareness, and to enhance our operational capabilities. Strengthening maritime regimes is the process of creating coordinated and interlocking domestic and international laws, regulations, treaties, and practices that increase transparency of activity, reduce risk, and balance competing uses within the maritime domain. We also need to focus on international engagement to improve maritime governance. We can all benefit from strong maritime relationships around the world because today's global maritime system ties U.S. interests to all nations throughout the global commons. These concepts closely link with Admiral Mullen's Global Maritime Partnership Initiative. For example, we are working with the International Maritime Organization to implement long-range tracking and to expand automated identification system carriage requirements to smaller, less regulated vessels. We're also beginning to discuss what we need to do to address regimes regarding recreational vessels, uninspected tugs and barges, and small passenger vessels. Achieving awareness in the maritime domain, including intelligence and information sharing at all levels of government, is key to our maritime security. Better awareness of what's out there leads to better unity of effort in maritime planning and operations. We need to have a common operating picture. Conversely, unity of effort in planning and operation feeds our knowledge and understanding of the threats that are out there. We also need to integrate our operational capabilities and efforts with our private sector partners to better prepare, respond to, and recover from incidents. We've already made great progress increasing our awareness through global maritime intelligence integration as part of the DNI organization, joint harbor operations centers, field intelligence support teams, and other joint interagency partnerships with state and local officials, as well as the private industry. The department's recent efforts to standardize more reliable maritime worker credentials through Transportation Worker Identification Card is a great example of how we jointly can increase awareness. Going forward, we intend to build out the National Automated Identification System, complete work on Rescue 21, and build out a common operating picture with a corresponding common intelligence picture. We will do this in partnership with DHS as we seek to build an integrated air, land, and sea operating picture for the nation. Enhancing our operational capabilities includes building Coast Guard capabilities for national defense. The nation needs a highly capable, interoperable U.S. Navy and Coast Guard along its own coast, on the high seas, and deployed abroad in support of U.S. national security interests. Our operational capabilities also include developing national capacity for maritime transportation system recovery following an incident in our ports. The nation needs a coordinated, integrated approach to planning for and responding to major disruptions in our maritime transportation system, the lifeblood of America's economy. To build out our capabilities for national defense, we are working closely with our Navy and Marine Corps partners on a national maritime strategy. Our forces will operate together and will need to effectively communicate. We are already integrating training at our center in Petaluma, California for Navy littoral combat ship crews and our crews for the national security cutters that share the same air search radar. In the area of recovery, this fall we held our first National Maritime Recovery Symposium with our industry partners. We will continue to develop and exercise regional plans for recovery following disasters. Finally, I would like to talk about the value of unity of effort in transforming the Coast Guard. Partnerships can make things happen that are not otherwise possible. Much of what I've talked about today involves more than just the Coast Guard. We rely on our partnerships at every level, across government, with private industry, and with the support and understanding of the American people. We have never enjoyed a better relationship with the Navy and Marine Corps in intelligence and harbor security operations. We look to expand our relationship with the Navy as it develops a national maritime strategy and work to build out its capability and capacity in naval expeditionary warfare. We also look to expand our relationships with each of the military combatant commanders as they develop and implement plans in support of our national security interests. When it comes to domestic matters, the Department of Justice is a critical partner in the safety, security, and stewardship of our maritime interests. We need to achieve unity of effort with the FBI in those areas where joint maritime response to potential threats is the winning formula. We look forward to doing all of this as we give life to the Coast Guard strategy. We are making significant improvements in our ability to carry out interagency coordination. And we do that through Maritime Operational Threat Response, MOTR, we call it MOTR. It's an operating concept developed to support the National Strategy for Maritime Security. The Coast Guard is regularly the mission coordinator in cases of national significance. We're already seeing great progress from the Department of Homeland Security under the leadership of Secretary Chertoff. My close working relationship with Commissioner Basham, Assistant Secretary Myers, Director Sullivan, and my other component heads in the department and the assistant secretaries has been vital to moving this forward. The Coast Guard is a better organization for being in the department, and the department is a better organization because the Coast Guard is in it. To illustrate this unity of effort, I'd like to highlight a recent case of the motor vessel Tong Chin. The Tong Chin began as a search and rescue case involving a Chinese merchant vessel taking on water off Hawaii, but it evolved into a security and a stewardship event as well. It's a great example of how we are leveraging partnerships and employing strategy across safety, security, and stewardship roles. We saved 26 lives, prevented a ship from sinking. We coordinated with state, local, and federal agencies to prevent a threat to a U.S. port. We prevented environmental damage to nearby sensitive maritime areas as the ship was stabilized and brought into port for repairs. And we did this not only through national, but international coordination with the Chinese government. The Tong Chin is just one example of how our priorities outlined in the new strategy are closely aligned and tied together. The Coast Guard's maritime safety, security, and stewardship responsibilities work together in a synergy that enhances our ability to save lives, secure our borders, respond to natural disasters, and protect our environment. Everything that I have spoken about today is related to change and our capacity to understand it and deal with it. As we navigate the Coast Guard in the 21st century, we must understand that change is not something that occurs every 5 or 6 years or when we are prompted by external events. It is something that happens every day in our operating environment. We must build a Coast Guard that continually senses change and continually adapts. While the transformation I have talked about may sound radical, it is not so different than what our predecessors did to get us where we are today. On August 4th, 1790, Alexander Hamilton established the Revenue Marine with a fleet of 10 cutters. For 6 years, the Revenue Marine stood as the nation's sole armed force afloat, protecting the country from pirates, enforcing revenue laws, and keeping Americans safe. A century and a half later, Commodore Bertoff, for which our new national security cutter is named, adapted us to the world of the 20th century, merging the Revenue Cutter Service and Life-Saving Service into the modern-day Coast Guard. With remarkable agility, he then turned the service around and prepared the Coast Guard forces for deployment overseas to fight in World War I. Hamilton and Bertoff understood we need to evolve with changing times. A little over a year ago, I was hunched over a laptop in a hotel in Baton Rouge. I was trying to capture the thoughts I have passed today. I thought about these leaders and the challenges they faced in their own times as I consider the challenges we face today. I was inspired by their vision and conviction as I put my own ideas for the future of the Coast Guard down on paper in advance of my interview to be Commandant. Inspired by our performance in Hurricane Katrina, but sobered by the challenges that we must face going forward, I made a personal commitment to be a Commandant of change, transition, and transformation. I did not ask for this job to maintain the status quo. It is my intention to answer the challenge of this century. You have my total commitment. But I will not succeed, the Coast Guard cannot succeed, without the help, support, and dedication of each one of you who serves. You are critical to the future of America's Coast Guard. Here's what I need from the men and women serving with us here today and for the men and women serving around the world. I need your commitment. I need your commitment to the idea that we need to change and that we can change together. You need to understand where the service is going and how I intend to make the case for change before Congress and the American people. That information is clearly spelled out in two important documents. The first one, the Coast Guard strategy for maritime security, safety, and stewardship that was unveiled here today. The second is the budget in brief and overview document for the fiscal year 2008 budget. That is available online. Everyone needs to read these documents closely. I also need the patience and tenacity you bring to your work every day. We are embarking on a process that will take several years to implement. We must act deliberately with strategic intent, but we must act now. We can no longer wait for external events, political pressure, or the tyranny of the present to drive our planning activities. Instead, we will reorganize our operational forces and realign our mission support systems to better serve the American people while being driven by strategies that lead us into the future. I have met with senior leadership of the Coast Guard this week for the third time since assuming my duties. We are all in agreement that change is necessary, and necessary now. At each meeting, we have discussed and developed the basic assumptions and concepts to move us forward. I will be providing you more information over the next several weeks so you can become familiar with the terms. We must now create detailed plans for transition. As more detailed plans are developed, I will share them with you. I will continue to communicate directly with you. The process will be transparent. And I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the presence of what I would call vested stakeholders. That group would include our partners in the administration, Congress, and industry. I work with all of you all of the time. I spend a lot of time defending what we have done in the past, why we need money this year, and what we might do in the future. And this is a perfect opportunity to put the question to you. What kind of Coast Guard do you think this country needs? What kind of Coast Guard are you prepared to support? What does port security and maritime security really mean? And what are we prepared to do to reduce risk, increase our presence, and source to strategy? The past decades have taught us in the Coast Guard to respond without question to save lives and protect property, to use the resources we have, to depend on the strength of those who have gone before. We will continue to do that, but we need to have a broader conversation with America about what we mean when we say port security and we say maritime security. I urge you to review our strategy and let us know what you think. We look forward to the conversation. To everyone present today, I have committed to the Secretary and the President to build a Coast Guard that will be semper paratus, not just today, but tomorrow as well. It will be a journey of learning and change. It will be challenging at times, but it is necessary. To the men and women of the Coast Guard, when I accepted the responsibility of being your commandant, I knew I could count on three things. First, I would have the support of the Secretary and this administration. I have that. And I will continue to work to earn the support of Congress. I also knew my task would not be to operate the Coast Guard, but to transform it. I can operate, and you can operate it. We've proved that. We must do more. Finally, I knew I could count on your commitment, and this is the most critical piece. I can't just order the Coast Guard to change. I'm asking you to join me in one of the most important challenges we've faced in a post-World War II Coast Guard. The success of this endeavor will be measured not by my commitment, but yours. My challenge is not to force change on the Coast Guard, but to make the Coast Guard understand that change is necessary. Just as we have always understood that we are lifesavers, we now must understand that we are also saving America's way of life. The world is changing, and America's Coast Guard is changing. I invite you to join me in the journey.